Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph. My name is David Law, commentator for BBC Radio 5 Live and BT Sport. And normally on this show, I'm joined by Eurosport presenter Catherine Whittaker to discuss the week in tennis. And it's been some week, hasn't it, with Andy Murray winning his 40th title, Joe Konta reaching the Beijing final and moving to eighth on the road to Singapore, and Maria Sharapova's ban being reduced from 24 to 15 months. However, we're not going to talk about any of that. Not today, because Catherine's not very well. She's got the lurgy, so we'll talk about all that stuff when she's got her voice back and we can actually understand what she's saying. Fortunately, we've got something even better this week. We've got an interview with the man who was the talk of Wimbledon over its first few days. Marcus Willis. Remember him? The man who was going to give up the sport until he met his now fiancée Jennifer, who told him not to, who told him to give it one last go. He did. He entered pre-qualifying, won three matches to get into actual qualifying, won another three matches to get into the main draw, and then beat Ricardo Berrankis in the first round to set up a clash with Roger Federer in round two. Ring a bell? It's now been announced that he'll be part of tiebreak tens in Vienna on October the 23rd, one night of round-robin match tiebreaks with Andy Murray, Joe Wilfried Tsonga, Dominic Thiem, Tommy Haas and Goran Ivanišević. The winner takes home $250,000. Tiebreak10s.com for more detail. Now, here's our chat. Well, Marcus, here we are at Warwick Boat Club, your local tennis club. And, I mean, rather different surroundings to when we last saw you during Wimbledon. And is it a little bit strange to think that even happened in a way?
Because at the time it was such a blur. But now it's just a case of, yeah, that happening, getting on with it. I haven't really looked back too much since. I'm quite keen to get on with it and get better, actually.
And we're talking 4 months ago, three, 4 months ago now. Where have you been? What have you been doing? Because obviously all the excitement, you came through pre-qualifying, you had qualifying itself. So you what is that, six matches to even get into the draw at Wimbledon? Then all the excitement of Wimbledon itself. And then I certainly haven't seen or heard of you since then. So tell us the story.
I was hurt in my last set of my first round. I was in quite a lot of pain. I mean, there's adrenaline, you don't feel it, but the night of the match, didn't sleep too well. The night after the Federer match, I was in pain, so I went and checked myself out. I was injured. I had to sort my body out, which took a bit of time. Glad I did it. I wasn't ready to go and compete. I went and played World Team Tennis after in August. That's when I was just fit again, and I was a bit rusty at the start, but I played some really good tennis and won three out of my four singles matches and played some top 100 players. It's good. Ever since, yeah, I mean, I've got a baby on the way in March. I'm getting married 3 weeks from now. I've been very busy, on and off court. I've been training very, very hard with my team, Cora in Warwick. Jenny's best friend works there. It's quite ironic how it all falls into place. But I've dropped 6% body fat. I'm playing with a splint in my mouth now. Yeah, it's getting very, very serious playing with orthotics. I'm getting every aspect of my game looked at, my body looked at. It's weird, I never had that before, but it's been professionally done now. So I've been busy working hard.
That process that you just described, having the mouthpiece done and the orthotics and all the things that I guess go into to being the best pro you can be, how much does that say about what you hope to do with the rest of your future? I mean, that sounds quite intense.
Yeah, it's always been about tennis for me. I mean, when I was injured after Wimbledon, I did a couple of things, magazines, whatever, TV stuff, but it's good to do. It's good to do different things sometimes, but yeah, it's always been about tennis for me. I just never could before. I ran out of money. I didn't have the support. I wasn't enjoying it, so that's why I was going to go to America and stop. I didn't have the right people around me. Obviously, you know the story. I met Jenny and it's a completely different ball game now. More driven than ever. So, no, I'm having a great time. It's been frustrating not being able to get back on court sooner, but you have to learn patience as a tennis player. So I'm looking forward to playing in Austria in a couple of weeks.
It was a hernia you had, wasn't it?
Yeah, hernia scare. Had a scan. It wasn't quite, but yeah, painful. I had a lot of thumbs in my hip and in joints and in my mouth. Oh, not much fun. Very, very painful. But yeah, I've got a lot of people to thank for Core have been really, really patient and really professional what they've done. So I'm back competing again. It's great.
For taking your mind back to Wimbledon, what sticks out in terms of a memory? I mean, it was the whole thing was an amazing experience. I remember watching you on the outside court playing Barrancas and the atmosphere out there, and then to walk out to the most extraordinary ovation next to arguably the most famous and greatest tennis player of all time.
Yeah, the whole thing, as I said, it's a bit of a blur. It happened so fast, from pre-quali's first round, from even quali's first round to then. I was at a Coldplay concert on the Sunday night with my family and Jenny, and just happy to be in qualifying. Just a pre-quali, I've made a bit of money, this is great. Happy to be there, wanting to win, but so open-minded. And that's what I took into Wimbledon as well. I was happy to be playing Barrancas. But yeah, I wanted to get stuck in and win. And that atmosphere was just brilliant. It was fun. It was the most fun I've ever had on the tennis court. Federer match, I mean, I'll remember that for the rest of my life, but wasn't much fun 20 minutes in. I was 6-love down and playing all right. So yeah, weirdly, playing Roger Federer was great, but I came off disappointed for the first hour. I was disappointed. I had more in me. I was knackered, absolutely exhausted. But yeah, the funnest day of my life was the Barrancas match, by far.
Why were you so tired? An hour into
the
match.
It was my eighth match. I was tired after, so in the evening of the match I was lying in bed, throbbing, stomach in agony. It took me about half an hour to get to the bathroom. Jenny was laughing at me. I was like an old man. But I was just exhausted. My body was just shot. I was, mentally it was tough as well. It was a bit of a circus during those times. And I haven't had it since I was 17, 18, since my junior days. Well, I've never had it to that extent. From being a normal guy going to America to who's this guy playing Federer 7-7-2 in the world. You can't explain it. It's not a normal journey, but I've dealt with it. It's fine.
And from here, I mean, yeah, for a start, I mean, you mentioned you didn't necessarily have maybe opportunities, but in the past. But would you say, looking back, that you made one or two mistakes along the way?
I'd say, yeah, it's fairly accurate. More the work ethic. It didn't come naturally to me. My dad drilled it into me when I was younger. There were a lot of ups and downs there, but as a junior, I was working hard as a junior, but I didn't quite know how to act off court. I always got caught doing stuff. I was a bit of a naughty boy as such, but no, I worked really hard. As I said, with Smithy, it served in the last 3 years. Oh, yeah, ran myself into the ground, as I said. I couldn't have worked any harder. I just needed the right people around me. I had a lot of negativity. People pretend to have your best interests at heart, but they don't. And then I've got a great group of people around me now. I've got my coach, I've got my family. I'm completely relaxed, and I'm convinced I'll play the best tennis now.
And what is that best tennis? What do you think that is capable of doing? From what you've seen, you've been around the qualies now at Wimbledon. You've played first round, you've won, you played Federer, the best. What do you think you can do?
I beat Varenkis in straight, so I saved a few break points, but I felt in control of that tennis match. I mean, he's a 50 in the world player. He lost to Cilic 8-6 in the fifth year before he could play on grass. It wasn't a fluke. I've come through qualies beating a top 100 guy there and beat some very, very good players. My draw was horrific, if I'm honest. So I think I can cause damage to a lot of top 50 players, to a lot of top 100 players, but I've got to get there first. It's going to be, I'm under no illusion that I'm going to do it every time. I'm going to get my butt kicked quite a lot. It's fine. It's tennis. It's a long year. But if I can play my best tennis a few times a year and make that count and get wins, then that will get you up there. It's just I've never had the chance to play the challenger in America and got to the quarterfinals and won 5 matches in 3 sets and I was out of shape and I was just toast. And that's the same amount of points as winning a futures in Egypt. So it's just getting myself to these tournaments to play these guys and practice with them. And yeah, I think my level's good enough. Just got to make it consistent. I'm intrigued to see my journey actually.
It is an interesting journey because I still have in my mind seeing you play an American with a Snickers bar.
Oh yeah, it's brutal. my team don't let me do that so much. Now it's more protein shakes and super greens, which are disgusting. But that's why I've lost 7% body fat. It's not much fun at times, but it's worth it.
Do you feel different?
Yeah, I feel.
Do you notice the difference?
You feel happy. You feel more relaxed. Less tired. Still can be a bit moody at times, but it's life. For a while I've been in better shape. Since Wimbledon, I've lost 6% since Wimbledon, 7% since I started working at Core. But I feel better. I feel sharp. I'm getting to balls I didn't used to get to. I move really well in America. Played NCL finals. Moved really well. Played really well there. So I'm getting more consistent and playing really well. I feel good. I feel in good shape on court, which I've never done before because I wasn't in good shape.
Now, you've got this opportunity to play Vienna qualifying, first of all, an ATP 500 event. I mean, that in itself is a great starting point, isn't it, I guess, to see where you are?
It's throwing me in at the deep end, but the last person I believe was Federer in an international official match, so yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going in with no expectation. I'm just going to go and fight as I do. I believe I can win matches, yeah. I might lose 2 in love in half an hour, but I don't think I will. These opportunities are great, but I do think I can do well. As I said, it's the not knowing. I don't know who I'm going to play. I don't know how I'm going to play, but it's great to be there because I'm going to learn lessons, win or lose. And you don't playing futures, you can win playing not that well. You can lose playing all right. The level's not the same. It's not televised. It's not. You don't feel like a professional tennis player when you're playing those events. You do, and it's real. It's what I've been working for. I'm excited.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. Inevitably, though, you're going to have to play futures and so forth to build that ranking, aren't you? This is something that if we look back just over a year ago, Dan Evans was in that position of a ranking in the 700s, and he's now, well, verge of the top 50,
yeah.
And in 14, 18 months, and you have to be able to win those sort of matches. Are you happy to go back from, well, the kind of lifestyle that you get at Wimbledon to mucking in and getting those sort of wins?
I'm absolutely fine with that. I've got the bigger picture in my head. Before, when you're slugging away, you believe you can beat these players, but you haven't actually done it. And Dan Evans had those Davis Cup wins. He's proved himself. Even though he's ranked 700, he's done it. He knows he can. And that's huge, actually knowing you can and having proof of that. I never had that before. I had a top 100 win, but I never had anything consistent. I didn't win 7 class matches in a row and then give Federer a good couple of sets at the end. I'm confident now. I know I can do it. So playing these futures, yeah, it's not going to be great fun, but it's life. I mean, everyone who goes to work every day isn't going to work having the best day or the best week. It's part of life. You have to get on with it. And the quicker I get through it, the quicker I get to the Wimbledon again. Yeah.
Now that you've sampled it, you know what it is like.
Hmm.
That could be you. That could be your life if certain things happen, if you do well enough over the next year, 2 years, whatever it takes. Is that part of the motivation?
Yeah, it is. I've always been... It was devastating when I thought I'd have to give up and go to America and coach, because I thought, I've got something to prove, I can do this. But yeah, everything happens for a reason. It was so strange how it happened that quickly.
Why did you get to the point where you thought, I've got to go to America and coach?
I have no money. You don't earn money by winning a futures. You break even. And your level doesn't pick up that much. You're playing guys around the same level as you, a bit better, a bit worse. Just go through the motions and your ranking gets to 300 and then you've got to travel to play challenges. And yeah, there's top 100 players there and you're not going to win every time. It's very easy to plateau. So... I was down. I was had enough. I was injured, tore my hamstring twice. Everything wasn't going well. There was a lot of negativity around. It didn't feel right. And then, yeah, that happened.
And the tipping point was entering pre-qualifying.
Yeah, well, Jenny said, go for it. First of all, she said, if you go to America, I'll come and visit you. Do what's best for you. But why don't you just go for it? I said, all right. So, as I said, signed in over the phone and a couple of people couldn't make it, ranked above me. It obviously happened for a reason. I was obviously good enough, so I've just got to make that regular now and not waste it.
And imagine that's also a motivation, isn't it? I mean, I think you said to me the other day, just on the phone, I don't want to be remembered for Wimbledon, second round.
I lost second round. It's great, it's really good. I mean, the story before is pre-qualified and blah blah, but I wasn't ranked 772 in the world. I wasn't playing that level. I'm a lot better than that. It just adds to the story. It's great, but the reality is I didn't play as well as I could in the second round and I lost, and I was disappointed after that. But yeah, big pat on the back. It's a great tournament. But yeah, I want to be there every year at Wimbledon, trying to get to the third round, trying to get to the fourth round, trying to beat these players. And I felt in the match against Federer in the end, and I wish I got off to a better start. I wish I held my nerve a bit better at the start, but can't expect that for my first outing. I've got to try and be realistic about things as well, and yeah, take it as a good tournament, but it's in the past and yeah, I'm still learning now, and I think I'm going to peak in 2-3 years time, so got a lot to look forward to in that way if I stay fully fit, which I'm pretty sure I will.
Is there a ranking goal this time next year?
No, top 100 is the ranking goal, the original ranking goal. If and when I get there, it then changes. But it could take a year, it could take two, it could take five. But I think I can get there. I did when I was younger, I used to set ranking goals, but you don't know what's going to... I could tell, I'm not going to, I don't think I will, but I could tear my hamstring. I could play top 100 players first round of every challenger and lose six in the third and play well. I could win a challenger. I could quali for an ATP and make quarters. You just don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. But if I'm working like this and training like this and in a good headspace, I'm going to get there.
You've also been invited to play tiebreak tens in Vienna the weekend that you try to qualify. One night, 10 matches, all of them tiebreaks, and you're one of six players. Joe Wilfried Tsonga, Tommy Haas, Goran Ivanišević, who I think is a hero of yours, isn't he?
Yeah. I've just got to put that to one side on the night.
Dominic Thiem and a certain Andy Murray.
Hmm. Well, I think I'm odds on favourite for that. No, I'm excited. It's abnormal to have the opportunity. I'm very grateful for it. I'm itching to get out there and play against them. See, I don't know what they play like. You see it, but you don't feel it. You don't see the heaviness and depth of their ball. You don't see how hard they hit it. You don't see how quick they are. I know it's going to be quick and heavy and hard, but no, I'm excited to get and test my game against them. Because I'll learn a lot from that evening, even if it's shambolic results-wise. But no, I back myself to win. I can win.
You can win.
A 10-point tiebreak, yeah. Yeah. Probably won't, but if you play that 100 times, I'm going to win it at some point. It's 10 points. Best of five sets is tough, but could I beat Andy Murray in a 10-point tiebreak? Probably. Am I going to beat him often? Not, no. Absolutely not. That's why he's where he is and I am. It's like playing 10 minutes of football. Accrington Stanley could beat Man U in 10 minutes. I'm still dreaming.
You've got me believing. If you do it,
yeah.
$250,000, winner take all.
It's all right, isn't it? Not a bad day at the office. Certainly more than I've ever earned before. No, it's financial incentive's great. I'm not odds on favourite, but it's going to be, tennis aside, money aside, it's going to be good fun playing. It's going to be playing against Joe Wilfried Tsonga in 10 points or Murray or Goran. Tell me that year ago, I'd have shook your hand off. So, no, it's good. I'm probably going to get a bit tight, but that's what tiebreak tens are. It's quick. You have to get in there.
One thing I remember pretty well from both of the two Wimbledon matches I saw you play is that you didn't, I don't know how nervous you were inside, but you didn't show that. You showed as though you loved it.
I do, yeah. I mean, playing at Wimbledon, it's your dream come true in 2 weeks when you think you're going to be, what is there to be nervous about? Sheesh. Anything's a bonus. I wanted to win. Disappointment still there. You're still competitive, but I'm always like that on court, to be fair. I'm always enjoying it. It's what I like doing. I've missed tennis when I was injured. I've missed it.
You always smile when you're out on court or you give off that sort
of... Yeah, not when I'm losing and not playing very well. But I'm always quite humorous. I'm always quite light-hearted. At the end of the day, it is a tennis match. There's a bit more to life than that. But I don't feel that when I'm playing. So I do get stuck in. It is life or death at the time. But there's that element of I'm out here doing what I love. I'm very, very lucky. So
Kyle Edmund beat Andy Murray in a first to 10 tiebreak. And obviously he's inside the world's top 50 now, so he's a long way ahead of where you currently are. Mm. But I mean, that was an underdog story.
Mm. Beat Ferrer in the semis as well. When, I don't know what his ranking was at the time. Probably not top 50.
No. I mean, he was. Yeah, I mean, he was around the top 100. Yeah. But
it's 10 points. I could beat Tyler. I've beaten Kyle Edmund in a practice set before. He's beaten me in a practice set before. It's 10 points. So, yeah, he played Murray yesterday in Beijing and it was close. He's a different level of player to me at the moment, but anything can happen in tiebreak tens. It'll be interesting. Murray will be probably favourite to win it, but I wouldn't be amazingly surprised if he doesn't. It's not.
Do you like that about the format, the idea of the format, that it kind of levels the playing field a little bit?
It's quick, it's entertaining. Hold on, you fall off down and you shouldn't be. You're playing someone playing some lefty from Warwick. He did all right at Wimbledon once. He'd fall off down and he's serving bombs at you. It's, you don't get that in a tennis match. It's, oh, he's held first game, mom serve, and we'll work him out, make him run. No, it's interesting. It's, you can't predict the dynamic of how the score's going to go. Or that there'll be people taking risks at level, there'll be people serve, like, you can't work out what's going to happen. There's no patterns to it. It's a 10-point tiebreak. It's like doubles. You don't know. There'll be a slightly better team and the opponents zip three return winners and it's done. So it is interesting. Yeah.
I know it seems may seem a little bit far-fetched, but let's say you won it, right? I mean, for anybody, that is a heck of a lot of money. But for somebody, I imagine, who is now starting out to try to really make an inroad tennis-wise, there's a lot of expense involved in that. It would be a big deal, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would, yeah. The round would be on me, certainly, no. No, it would, yeah. $250,000, I wouldn't say no to that. But, yeah, it would go... Tennis is an expensive sport, especially if you invest in yourself, which I'm going to do. I've got a family to support. It's great. It would be a massive, massive boost for my career. Mm-hmm. Massive boost. What you can do with that, yeah, to Betty, you could travel with the coach the whole time. You could, yeah, the possibilities are endless.
How much difference does that kind of thing make, to having a coach? You mentioned the people around you and so forth. I mean, is that something that you've just discovered in time, the difference it makes?
I've never been able to have it. I mean, Murray's got a huge group of people around him. A lot of people do. You need support. You can't be out there by yourself. I tried that. It didn't work. But yeah, if I could have all the people around me that are positive the whole time, I would. But yeah, you're going to pay for that, aren't you? You have to speculate to accumulate, as one guy told me once. You have to invest in yourself as much as you can. And I did. When I was in debt, I had a credit card, I had loans, I tried everything, but they max out. You get to a point where you can't move anymore. I'm always one in believing you've got to invest. Because it does help. It's proven. Every one of those top 10 players has got a team of people around them, whether you see them or don't.
That's exciting stuff. Just quickly, I mean, going back to the memories you have of Wimbledon and the people that you hung around with. You've mentioned Murray and Federer. What were they like away from the court? I mean, obviously we saw Roger give you a pat on the back and let you have the stage and so forth. But I mean, did how did they come across to you?
Andy, ever since I qualified, was supportive. He gave me a lot of really, really helpful advice, which did matter. Roger, again, 2 days later, was lovely, told me to keep going, had some nice conversations. Yeah, him and Roger and Andy were really, really supportive away from the cameras as well as towards the cameras. It's interesting, actually. You don't expect it. You think, oh, that's nice of them, and they're not going to speak to you, but... No, they do. They're really nice guys. I'm very grateful for that, because it does give you confidence. When Andy Murray tells you, you know, really well done, you've seen what you can do now, and when Roger says, keep going, they're some of the best players that have ever lived, and they're telling you that. You can't feel bad after that, really.
And just finally, I mean, you were talking about the players you might face at this tiebreak 10s. Are you somebody that ever... imagines your game up against these sort of people? And because, you know, I could imagine, I remember when I was a kid, I would daydream about scoring a goal for my football team and all that sort of thing.
I used to hit against the wall and pretend I was playing Sampras and Goran. Yeah, I do. I watch matches and think, oh, I'd do that and do that, but I'm sure they'd have an answer for it. But you do, I daydream. I'll have a plan for everyone I play, whether it comes off or not.
So you dreamed about playing. You dreamt about playing Goran
Ivanisevic. Not so much Federer. It was more the era when I used to get back from school and hit against the wall for 3 hours, and I'd pretend in my room I had a sponge ball and a little racket, and I'd hit against the wall and make little lines and pretend I was playing. Sampras was a man back then. Hemman, Brzezinski, Ivanisevic. I'd play against all of them and just about edge them in the fifth every time. It was great.
Amazing that how that always happens,
weird,
isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it could be you against Goran for in the final. Who knows?
Got it. Yeah, he won't be. He will have to not be my hero for that one. That'll be unbelievable.
Well, listen, Mark, it's great. Best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Hope the next couple of years brings you what you hope for. Go for it.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.